will very soon be commemorating the first anniversary of the September 11th attacks.
去年的九月十一号的这个悲剧，很快的我们就面临它一年一度的这个anniversary.
But terrorism is not new to the Middle East.
事实上，恐怖分子的工作并不只限于在中东。
This very week, Israel will mark the 30th anniversary of the Munich massacre.
在这个礼拜，以色列其实就要纪念他们三十周年在慕尼黑所面临的那一次的残暴的屠杀。
Early in the morning on September 5th, 1972, the Munich Olympic Games were disrupted by terrorism.
在1972年9月5号的早上4点钟，在慕尼黑所举办的这个奥林匹克委员会受到这样子一个冲击。
Palestinian guerrillas snuck into the Olympic Village dressed as athletes.
巴勒斯坦的游击队，他们化妆成为好像运动员一样，他们就偷偷地进到了这个运动员的村。
They invaded the housing where the Israelite athletes were staying.
他们到了以色列的选手所住的这些房间，那么到进到里面去。
And they captured a number of athletes and then tried to flee the country.
那么他们捉住了一些这些运动员，那么捉到他们之后呢，就想要逃离开那个国家。
By the time the day was over, 11 athletes had been killed.
等到这个事情结束的时候，有十一个运动员丧失了他的生命。
5 hostages and 1 West German policeman was also dead.
那么有一个西德的警察，还有另外有五位被抢被劫持的人，也都丧失了他们的生命。
In a violent world, one of the greatest difficulties we face is the issue of forgiveness and reconciliation.
在我们所面对的这样一个充满了暴力的社会，我们最难面对的一个我们所需要面对的一个问题，就是怎么样去原谅、去宽恕和与人和好。
A few of us will ever face a terrorist attack.
大概在你我的生命当中，去碰到这个恐怖者的攻击的机会会很少。
But forgiveness can be required by such simple acts as being cut off on the highway as we drive to work.
事实上，你每天所需要去原谅别人的事情，就好像你在公路上开车的时候，有个人突然插到你的前面来。
Many of us will experience the unfortunate event of being stabbed in the back at work.
或许你在你的工作的地方的时候，有别人从背后来暗算了你。
For some, forgiveness will be required by prolonged conflict between husband and wife.
在有些其他的人里面，他们的夫妇之间可能有经过了很长时期的这些冲突，在这些事情上也是需要原谅跟宽恕。
To a certain extent, forgiveness is required when we see corporate scandals like Enron and WorldCom.
好像最近在新闻上面的这个 Enron 跟 WorldCom 的这些事情上，我们是不是也应该运用到我们对人宽恕的事上？
To a certain extent, forgiveness is expected or required necessary for us when we see political scandals like with Mayor Cianci down in Providence recently.
甚至于在政坛上面的一些不好的这些事情，像这个 Providence 的这个市长Cianci 他的事情，我们是不是也应该原谅他？
Now we live in security afforded by two oceans, one ocean on either side of us, but many countries endure ethnic cleansing.And painful context requiring forgiveness.
我们好像是住在一个象牙塔里面，因为在美国这个地方，一边隔着一个洋，所以我们好像跟外界的冲突没有太大的关系。但是你知道，在这个美洲之外，在欧洲的地方，比方说有灭族的这些惨剧。
And even in a church family, which we expect to be marked by love and gentleness.There are times when we enter into conflict and must experience forgiveness with each other.
然而在一个教会里面，在我们教会里面，一个教会的当中，我们也会面临到彼此之间的不和，彼此之间所需要的宽恕。
Christian in conflict with Christian.
基督徒跟基督徒之间有冲突。
Leaders in conflict with leaders.
领袖跟领袖之间有冲突。
And all sorts of these examples present us with a question when we go through them. How can I possibly forgive?
那么这些许许多多的例子就给了我们这样一个问题，问我们说，我们要怎么样才能够做到去宽恕别人呢？
How can I forgive a colleague whose backstabbing cost me my job?
我怎么样去原谅一个人，他就是因为他的不好，他对我的不好，让我失去了我的工作。
How can I forgive a husband or wife who was consistently rude to me?
我怎么样原谅我的另外一半，他随时对我的态度都是非常的恶劣。
How can I forgive a husband or wife who had an affair?
甚至于呢，另外一半可能是有外遇。
Who struck me?
曾经打过我。
Who divorced me?
甚至于我们离婚。
How can we forgive and respect business leaders or corrupt political leaders?
我们怎么样去原谅一些在事业上面一些可能他曾经做错事、犯过错的一些领袖人物？
Some of you may have come from countries where political violence was endorsed. How can you forgive political leaders who oppress you?
那你能不能够原谅一些这些政治上的领袖，他们是接受而且在实施一些这些暴力的行为？
How can the Christians of Rwanda or Bosnia, former Yugoslavia, forgive those who engage in ethnic cleansing against them?
好像在 Rwanda 跟 Bosnia 这些地方的人，在他们的种族甚至于在所谓的基督徒的当中有这种种族的仇恨跟灭族的行动。
On a much lower level, how can we forgive each other?
好像在我们之间，我们彼此之间要怎么样的宽恕？
How can we forgive those who do us wrong or those who offend us?
我们会觉得有人对不起我，我要怎么样去原谅他？
Genesis 45 does not provide a comprehensive answer, but it does provide an important component to the answer.
创世纪四十五章并没有给我们全体的答案，全部的答案，但是给我们了一部分的答案。
We see in Joseph someone who was wronged by many people in his life.
我们看到约瑟这个人的例子，在他的生命当中，许多人有对他不起的地方。
A jealous brothers kidnapped him and sold him as a slave.
对他有嫉妒心的他的弟兄，把他绑架了，甚至把他卖出去做了奴隶。
He served his new owner faithfully, but was thrown in jail when the owner's wife tried to seduce him.
那么他的一个新的主人愿意用他，但是那个主人的妻子却来引诱了他。
He helped some fellow prisoners, and they promised to help him when they got out, and they didn't. They forgot him.
那么在他监狱里面，其他同监狱的人曾经答应他要帮他的忙，但是那些人离开了监狱之后呢，就忘记了。
Now in Genesis 45, we see him reconcile with the most important people in his life, his family.
但是在这个创世纪四十五章里面，我们看见他与他生命当中最重要的人，就是他的家庭里面的人，他家里的人有这个和好的见证。
They had plotted to kill him.
那么他的弟兄们曾经一段时间是要杀掉他的。
They sold him into slavery.
他们把他卖成了奴隶。
And now, after more than 20 years, he sees them again.
二十多年以后，他与他们再度的见面。
And he reconciles with them.
但是他与他们和好。
How is forgiveness possible for Joseph?
在约瑟的身上，那么宽恕是怎么样变成可能的？
Notice his explanation in chapter 45, verses 4 to 7.
那么你看在这个第四十五章四到七节里面，他特别这样子的解释。四到七节，约瑟又对他弟兄们说：“请你们进前来。”他们就进前来。他说：“我是你们的兄弟约瑟，就是你们所卖到埃及的。现在不要因为把我卖到这里，自忧自恨。这是神差我到你们以先来，为要保全生命。”现在这地的饥荒已经二年了，还有五年不能耕种，不能收成。神差我在你们以先来，我要给你们存留余种在世上，又要大施拯救，保全你们的生命。
Notice the two ways that Joseph describes the event by which he became a slave.
那么这个地方你看见约瑟他用两个方面来形容他为什么会被卖到埃及来做奴隶。
In verse 4, he says, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt.
他那边说，我就是你们的兄弟约瑟，就是你们所卖到埃及的。
That's the first way he describes how he became a slave.
那么他第一个他是说我是被你们所卖到埃及的。
He looks his brothers in the eyes and he says, "You sold me."
他对着他的弟兄们，对着他们的眼睛看着说，你们把我卖的。
And yet that's not the full story.
但是这个并不是这个故事的全部。
In the very act of their selling him, God was at work.
但是就在他们卖他们的弟兄的时候，神就在那个地方做工。
Not in spite of their act of selling him.
并不是说除了他们卖他的这个动作以外。
But in the very act of their selling him.
而是就在这个卖他们的这个动作之中。
You sold me, he said.
他说你们把我卖了。
But in verse 5, he says, God sent me.
但是这边他又说是神差我到这里来的。
You sold me, he says again.
他说他又再说你们卖了我。
But in verse 7, he says, God sent me.
但是到第七节他又说神差我到这里来。
They sold, but God sent. In the one act.
在同样的一个行动当中，他的弟兄们卖了他，但是神也差了他。
Joseph grasped the providence of God.
所以约瑟在这边完全的明白了神所有的供应的这个主权。
He affirmed the sovereignty of God.
这边看见神的主权在这里。
Because he knows that God is sovereign.
因为他知道神的主权是绝对的。
And because now in the providence of God, he's seen the fulfillment of God's promises to him.
因为他看得清楚，他看得见神的预备，他也看见神的意志在这边得到成全。
So he can reassure them.
所以他能够再度的向他们保证。
Verse 5, do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you.
第五节这边他们说你们不要因为把我卖到这里就自忧自恨，因为这是神差我到你们，在你们以先来，为了要保全性命。
Despite their evil, despite their malice.
虽然他们这些弟兄们的心是恶的，是有这个恶的意的。
Still he says, don't be distressed with yourselves, don't be angry with yourselves.
他仍然这边说你们不要自忧自恨。
This is a promise that he is no longer distressed with them, that he is no longer angry with them.
他讲这句话的意思就是说他已经对他的弟兄们没有恨，没有忧。
You see, when somebody does wrong to us, we have two common reactions.
当你发现有人做错了事情之后，我们看见的是两个这个回应。
Anger. How dare they treat me this way?
第一个是很生气，很恨，他们怎么可以这样对我。
And despair. What will happen to me now?
那么第二个是忧虑，又说那我下一个会怎么办？
And Joseph renounces both despair and anger.
但是这个地方约瑟很清楚地把这个忧跟恨统统都丢开。
I am not distressed, I am not angry, he implies.
我已经不再忧不再恨。
Why?
为什么？
Because it was to save lives, not that you sold me, but that God sent me ahead of you.
不是因为你们卖了我，而是因为神已经差我到这来，为了要保全我们的生命。
People can do us evil.
人没有办法对我们行坏事。
They can do us wrong.
他可以对我们做错事。
And it can hurt us.
没有办法对我们有伤害。
God does not promise to protect us from these things.
因为神并没有允许要保护我们不受到别人的错事。
And yet we do have two assurances from God.
但是我们对从神那里面会有两个应许。
No one can do anything to us without God's permission.
因为没有神的许可，没有人能够放在一个指头在我们的身上。
Remember the Job story?
你们记得约伯的故事吗？
Even Satan himself, the epitome of evil, could not harm Job without God's permission.
甚至于在这个恶魔中的恶魔撒旦，他也需要神的许可才能够对约伯有这个试探。
And if Satan cannot do harm to us without God's permission, no one else can.
假如撒旦都不能，那么别人也没有人能够伤害我们。
The second assurance that we have from God is that no matter what evil people do to us, He can bring something good out of it.
那么第二件事情就是说，不管人对我们做错了任何的事情，神都能够从这当中生出一个好的结果来。
To make sure we get this point, Genesis 45 repeats it in the next paragraph.
那么为了要把这个信息说得明白，在这个创世纪45章里面，特别这边又特别的强调。
Three times in verses 8 to 9, Joseph says, "It was not you, but God."
那么从第八节以上，他这样三次的说，他不是你，乃是神。
Verse 8, "It was not you who sent me here, but God."
第八节说，不是你们，乃是神。
God made me father to Pharaoh.
神让我成为如法老的父。
God made me lord of all Egypt.
神让我成为他全家的主。
And so Joseph can turn to the sovereignty and providence of God and forgive his brothers to reconcile with them.
所以约瑟能够回到神的面前，看见神的主权和神的应许，能够把这个事情能够解释。
Notice the depth of his desire to reconcile.
你们看清楚了吗？他这边他心里面所想要所愿意与人和好的那个心是如此的深。
Verse 9, come down to live with me, don't delay.
那么第九节特别说，你们来与我同住。
He would have been justified to say, go back to Canaan where you belong, I don't ever want to see you again.
很可以说是你们回到迦南地吧，我再也不要见你们的面了。
He says, hurry, come live with me.
但是他说，你们快去，快快的回来与我同住。
Verse 10, you shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. I want you to be with me.
尤其在第十节说，你们要回来住在歌山这个地方，因为那里离我很近。
He would have been justified to say, get out of my sight.
他很可能也很可以这样说，说你们就离开吧，我不要再看到你们。
Instead, he says, I want to see you. I want to see your children and your grandchildren grow. I want to be a family with you.
但是他实在讲的是说，我要你们回来，我要与你们同住，我要看见你的子孙都能够与我们同住。
He could have said, now is the time that I can pay you back.
他也可以说是现在是你们要付代价的时候。
Instead, in verse 11, he says, I will provide for your needs.
但是在第十一节他这边说的是说，我要在这里奉养你。
He doesn't say, now it's God is paying you back for the evil you did.
他并没有说，神在这个时候就要你为你所做的坏事付上你的代价。
Now you will get what you deserve.
你会得你所应得的这个
With his brothers standing before him, he doesn't call out to God and say, pay them back for what they've done to me.
在他的弟兄站在他面前的时候，并没有对神说，神啊，你就在这个地方惩罚他们。
Instead, before his brothers, he says, you acted evil, but God was at work to protect you through me.
但是反过来他却是说，虽然你做错了，你做了坏事，但是神的意愿在这里乃是要这样做来救我们。
In effect, he says, I trust in the providence of God, so I do good to you, though you hurt me.
所以这边他说，我相信神对我们的供应，所以在这个地方我跟你和好。
Now there's a danger of a, what we could call a Pollyanna attitude, a blind response, okay, evil doesn't matter.
我们可能会有一个错误的一个态度，这个地方我们就觉得说，哦，那么做坏事和坏事并没有什么关系。
To avoid that, the rest of the chapter reinforces that God did indeed provide and act through their evil.
那么在接下来这段呢，就为了要说明明白这个事情，神迹的这边有这些记载。
Throughout the second half of the chapter, we hear how Pharaoh provides, how God provides through Pharaoh for Joseph's entire family.
那么在接下来的从第十六节以下呢，这边特别提到法老王如何经过约瑟的手来供应给他的家人。
Pharaoh welcomes them into his country.
所以法老王第一先欢迎他们到他的国家来。
He gives them lands.
他给他们地。
He makes gifts to them of carts and goods.
他送他们许多的礼物，像车啊，像其他的东西。
In verse 20, he says, you don't need even to bring your belongings from back home. We'll give you the best things we have here.
在第20节这边说, 你们不要爱惜你们的家具, 因为埃及全地的美物都是你们的。
The whole point of this half of the chapter is to tell us that Joseph was not naively optimistic.
那么在这一段, 特别的就是告诉我们说, 约瑟并不是, 很这个无知的, 那个, 有这个, optimistic.
God did provide for their needs.
因为神的确是一个供应的神。
Through their very act of evil, God was providing first for Joseph, and through Joseph for his brothers.
因为, 因着神的作为, 神先为约瑟预备, 然后为他的弟兄们预备。
Now the question that confronts us as we read this is this.
那么对我们所面对的问题是这样的。
This is only one story in Scripture.
这只是在我们的圣经里面所提到的一个故事。
This is the story of only one family.
这是一个关于一个家庭的一个故事。
Sure, God worked for good in Joseph's life through his brothers.
的确,那么神在, 经过约瑟跟他的家人里面做了这样一个好的故事。
God took their evil and turned it for good for Joseph.
那么他把他的兄弟们所有的这些恶事把它转回转起来变成一个美事。
But can we be sure that he'll do the same thing for us?
那么我们能不能够肯定神也在我们身上会行同样的事?
Is this an account of Joseph's family, or is it also a promise to us thousands of years later?
那么这件事情是不是就只是发生在约瑟身上的一个故事呢? 还是在经过千年之后与我们每一个人都有关系?
I think, for example, of a good friend I had who suffered under a difficult boss.
那我记得我有一个, 朋友, 那么他是在一个很凶恶的一个老板底下做事。
Perhaps in psychological terms, you'd say the boss had what is psychologists call borderline personality disorder.
Let me try this. 那么就好像 boss 这个意思呢，只是说是差不多要面临于这个精神有问题的人那种人的个性。
The rest of us would just say that the boss was half crazy.
或者是我们剩下人就说这个做老板的就是一些疯狂的人。
She required that all of her subordinates not merely do their jobs well, but also that they dote on her.
她不只是说要这些所有的人那么能够好好的做事做工，而且要对她要特别的巴结跟奉承。
Whenever anyone ceased to tell her how wonderful she was, she'd fire them.
那么假如有人对她巴结奉承的话，她可能会把她就请走了。
I'm serious. I don't know. So my friend and his wife went out to dinner with the boss and her husband.
所以我的朋友跟他的妻子就与他的这个老板跟这个老板的先生一起出去吃饭。
And in previous dinners, the entire evening focused around the boss.
那么在这个一天以前，在那个吃饭的时候呢，整个的这个注意力。 注意力都集中在这个老板的身上。
The restaurant staff would flatter her and hover around her.
那么整个这个饭店里面的这些侍者呢，通通都围绕着这个老板。
The husband would hover around her, meeting all of her needs.
那么他的这个先生也是对她不断的恭敬。
My friend would have to hover around her and see if she needed things.
那么我的朋友也是同样的。
Instead of looking after his own wife, he was supposed to look after her as well.
那么除了要照顾他自己的妻子之外，他要照顾他这个女老板。
My friend knew what would happen if he didn't.
他知道假如他不这样做的话，会发生什么事。
He would lose his job.
他就会失业。
And the economy was bad.
那个时候的外面的经济状况不好。
Before they went out to dinner, his wife said to him, "You have one wife and one employer."
他说，你他们离开家之前呢，他太太跟他说，你只有一个妻子，你也只有一个老板。And
so that night he doted on his wife rather than his employer.
所以那天晚上他就特别的对他的太太好，而不是对他的老板好。The
next day he lost his job.
所以第二天他果然如同预言所说，他就失掉了他的工作。
Now American law provides for people to sue for sexual harassment.
我们知道这个如果有性的骚扰的话，在美国有这样的法律可以让你能够去控告。
But this is hard for a woman to prove against a man.
你很难证明说是一个女的对男的有性的骚扰。
And maybe some of you are tempted even to laugh at the idea of a man trying to prove it against a woman boss.
你也许对这个事情觉得是要这样子去证明的话，是很可笑的。
As he knew, the economy was bad.
他知道这个经济状况不好。
He was never again able to secure another position like the one he had.
他知道他很可能很困难去另外找到一个工作。
And that job had meant the world to him.
他那个工作对他来说是非常的重要。
This is just a little example of how people can do evil to us.
这也就是一个很小的例子，就是说人可能会对我们会做不好的事。
But even in little examples, it can be terribly painful.
虽然是一个可能是一个很小的一个例子，但是也是一个很痛苦的例子。
Can my friend take the Joseph story as reassurance?
我的这个朋友能不能拿着这个约瑟的这个故事，就成为他的一个鼓励，他一个勉励呢？
I think we must say three things in response.
那么我们必须在这方面有三点反应。
First, we mustn't use the Joseph story in an easy or careless fashion.
我们不能够把约瑟的这个故事用成一个借口，一个很轻松的就这样把它带过去。
Count it up. Joseph had to wait 22 years to see the providence of God.
如果你去再去算算的话，你发现约瑟要等22年才看见神怎么样在他身上预备。
When he was a slave, he saw that God was with him.
当他做奴隶的时候，他看见神与他的同在。
When he was in prison, he saw that God was with him.
当他在监狱里的时候，他看见神与他的同在。
As a slave, he prospered. In prison, he prospered.
不管他是做奴隶还是在监牢里面，他都能够做得非常的好。
But this is the first time in the account that we hear that he understood that God was with him even as his brothers were selling him.
这是第一次在圣经里的记载，让他能够看见，甚至于在他的弟兄们卖他的时候，神也已经为他预备。
Previously, we see that God was with him, helping him to recover from the evil done to him.
那么在以前的这几个事情，我们看见神是让他能够看见，让他能够从他所受的伤害当中能够恢复过来。
But this is the first time we hear that God was actually working in the evil done to him.
但是在这个时候，他能够明白，甚至于当这个恶事发生在他身上的时候，神也有他美好的旨意。
It took him 22 years to see that.
让他有了22年的时间，他才能够明白这个真理。
It may take us 22 years to see how God used evil in our lives.
或许在我们身上也需要经过同样长度的时间，让我们看清楚神怎么样在恶意上面，在我们身上能够变成美意。
We may never see it until we get to heaven.
或许要等到我们哪天见主面的时候，我们才能够明白。
My friend lived only 2 more years. He never saw how God was at work in that evil done to him.
我的那个朋友只经过了2年，他都没有看见神怎么样在那个世上给他的美意。
Whether we ever see it or not, the Joseph story is as much a call to faith as it is a promise.
那么神对我们在经过约瑟的这个故事上，让我们看见信心和应许的这样的比较。
God is sovereign and he loves us.
神是有一个有主权的神，神也是爱我们的神。
Nobody can do any evil to us that are beyond his hand over our lives.
没有人能够在我们身上所加的害处能够超过神所允许的。
We know that the Joseph story is more universal than just one family, also because of the Jesus story.
但是我们也明白约瑟的故事实在是有这个普及性的，是因为同样的在耶稣身上的故事。
In a few moments, we'll celebrate communion together.
今天也是我们一起领圣餐的时候。
And in Luke 22, Jesus celebrates the first communion. He institutes communion with his disciples.
在路加二十二章里面，那边特别记载到主耶稣怎么样建立了圣餐。
And as we celebrate communion, we hear the words of Luke 22, verses 19 to 20.
那么我们这边看到，在路加福音第二十二章第十九节到二十节这边特别说到，他拿起饼来祝谢了，就拨开递给他们说：“这是我的身体，为你们舍的，你们也应当如此行，为的是纪念我。”饭后又照样拿起杯来说：“这杯是我用血所立的新约，是为你们流出来的。”
And right after saying that, Jesus reflects on Judas, the one who did this evil to him.
那么当他讲过了，他领过了饼跟杯之后，他又指出在桌上有一个将要对他加害的一个人，就是犹大。
The hand of him who is going to betray me is with my hand on the table.
在二十一节特别说，看哪，那卖我之人的手与我一同在桌上。
The Son of Man will go as God has decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him.
人子固然要照所预定的去世，但卖人子的人有祸了。
Like Joseph, Jesus does not deny evil intent.
就好像约瑟一样，耶稣并没有否认这个坏人他有这样子的意念。
Joseph says to his brothers, "You sold me."
约瑟对他的弟兄们说，你卖了我。
Jesus says of Judas, "He will betray me."
那么耶稣同样的对犹大说，这个人要卖我。
But in that act of evil, both Joseph and Jesus see the providence of God.
但是就同样的在这个人的这个恶，在这个坏人的恶意的这个动作当中，耶稣跟约瑟同样也就看见了神在他们身上的预备。
Joseph says, "You sold me, but God sent me."
约瑟说，你们卖了我，但是神差派了我。
Jesus says, "Judas will betray me, but this merely fulfills the decree of God Himself."
但是耶稣说，你要卖我，这个人要卖我，但是这是要能够应许神的旨意。
And in the confidence that Jesus has in the providence of sovereignty of God, he's able to say from the cross,
因着这个缘故，耶稣能够在他的十字架上这样说，
"Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
神啊，你原谅他们，因为他们不知道他们所做的是什么。
So today, as we celebrate communion, we have greater grounds for confidence than Joseph had.
所以今天当我们一起来领主的饼跟主的杯的时候，我们比约瑟当年有更多的这个肯定。
Joseph could trust in God's providence and could forgive only because he'd experienced it in his own life.
因为约瑟他是经过了他自己亲身所经历的这些事故，能够明白神在他身上的预备。
His confidence was based on his personal experience.
他因着他自己亲身的领受，是建立了他对神的信心。
Our confidence can be based on the Joseph story, Joseph's experience.
那么我们的信心，我们的信念，来自于约瑟的故事。
But our confidence has a much stronger basis.
然而我们的信念有一个更重要的一个基础。
Jesus himself.
乃是耶稣基督他自己。
And finally, if any doubt remains, we have a universal promise given to us by God in Romans 8:28.
那么，假如说你还有任何的这个怀疑的话，你们在罗马书第八章第二十八节这边有神的另外一个应许。
Paul looks back at Jesus and says, "Because of him, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, of those who've been called according to his purpose."
这边八章二十八节特别说，我们都晓得万事都互相效力，叫爱神的人得益处。
Now God never promises that we will see the good in our lifetime, even if we live 22 more years.
就算我们能够再多活二十几年的话，神并没有应许我们就能够亲眼看见他在我们身上所要做的那一件善功。
But even if we don't see it, Jesus is the promise of God. That it is true.
但是因着耶稣基督所做的，因着耶稣基督的应许，我们所知道这一切的应许都会成就。
Whether or not we ever live to see it, the fact remains true.
虽然我们不一定能够活在这个世上去亲眼看见或亲身的体验，但是这个事实，这个真理是真的。
God works all things, even evil, in our life for His glory and for our good.
在凡事上，在世界上所有的事情，神都同样的有掌管，神都同样的有他的应他的供应，是为着他的荣耀，也为着我们的好处。
We can have this confidence despite our experience.
虽然我们在生活当中会经历掉许多的困难或者是苦楚，但是我们仍然要有这样的信心。
Our confidence is based not on our personal experience, but on the cross of Jesus Christ.
所以我们的信念并不只是根据着我们个人的经验而已，而是根据主耶稣基督并他的十字架。
We pray together.
让我们一同祷告。
Our Father, we ask for this confidence.
天父，我们就是求你给我们这样的信念。
As we look at Jesus and how you use the cross,
当我们仰望耶稣和他怎么样钉在十字架上，
May we see all the evil done to us in that same light.
让我们一同的能够看见别人在我们身上所做的这些恶事，就同样的被钉在十字架上。
We worship you as the sovereign God.
我们这样的敬拜你，因为你是一个全能的主。
And we take heart from your providential care for us.
我们实在是愿意明白你的应许。
We honor you in Jesus' name.
我们奉耶稣基督的名来敬拜你。
Amen.
Amen.